Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Be'a Daf Chof. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 12 lines from the top of Daf Chof. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us glance at the side where we have a topic heading, the Nosei. Minayin shesoimchen smicha. Oh, from where do we know that smicha is done? That's the placing of the hands on a sacrifice. Number one, oilas choiva, on a ola sacrifice that is obligatory. An example of that would be an oilas re'ia. This is a korban ola, which is brought during the holidays. Number two, smicha al shalmei chova, on obligatory shlomim offerings. The Korban Chagiga, for example, is an obligatory Shlomim sacrifice. You'll notice that what seems to be, we'll say, unknown, has to do with two Korbanos that were mentioned, but you'll notice they're both called Chova, both obligatory type sacrifices. And we're asking, from where do you know that there is a Smicha requirement regarding them? You could infer from this that the smicha obligation as stated in the Torah most likely was stated in the realm of non-obligatory sacrifices. And in fact, if you look at the other margin, the other side of the Gemara, we have a little grid where we've indicated Dine Smicha Ksuvim Eitzel Nedova. The laws of Smicha, the Torah's report, the Torah's commanding of the need to do Smicha, this action of placing hands with full force, if you will. You lean on the animal as well. When placing the hands, you're placing your weight, so to speak, on the animal's head with your hands. This mitzvah, this obligation, is stated in the realm of voluntary sacrifices, shalmei nedova and oilas nedova. What about obligatory shlomim, shalmei chagiga? What about obligatory oilos, olas re'ia, for example? That is the topic of our Gemara. The strategy of the Gemara is to open with a Tanaic source that was taught in the presence of Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak, upon hearing this, will conclude that the unnamed source is authored by Beis Shammai and not by Beis Hillel. The Gemara will then reject that conclusion, as we'll see in the text. Let us now turn to the Gemara. Toni Tano Kameid Rav Yitzchok Bar Abba. Someone stated a Tanaic source in the presence of Rav Yitzchok, and it opens with a pasuk in the context of an Olas Chova. It says, Vayakrev, an Olas Chova means an obligatory Ola offering. It says, Vayakrev es ha'ola vayaseha kamishpot. That's the pasuk. Kamishpat means, the word kamishpat means in accordance with the law. What law? Kamishpat oilas nedava. You shall offer this olas chova as you would a voluntary ola. Limeid, this pasuk teaches al oilas chova sheteuno smicha. From here we learn that an obligatory ola requires smicha. the rules of these sacrifices, the Olah and the Shlamim, were stated in the Torah by voluntary offerings. So this pasuk, Vayakriv es Olah Vayaseh Kamishpat, reveals that an Olas Chova is receives smicha because of the word Kamishpat, which means as the rule, and here is the assumption, as the rule concerning the Olas Nedava. And in the context of the Olas Nedava, the Torah actually spells out an Olas Nedava requires smicha. Omar Le, upon hearing this, Reb Yitzchak says, and there's a point that lasts a couple of lines, the Omar Loch money, he who taught this source, taught it according to whom? In other words, that which we need a pasuk to conclude that an olas chova requires smicha, as opposed to a simple logical parallel. But again, we're repeating ourselves. But the need for a pasuk to tell me this point, that an olas chova requires smicha, beis shamai hi. This would be beis shamai. De lo gamri shalmei chova mi shalmei nedava. We have a precedent for with regard to beis shamai. We know that they don't learn obligatory sacrifices from voluntary sacrifices in another realm, in the realm of the Shlomim. We know that they don't have a method of elucidation known as Binyan Av. Binyan Av is a method of learning the unknown from the known through using logical comparison. The source that we just read is not employing Binyan Av reasoning, but rather scriptural referencing, the word kamishpat. That's not something that's based on logic, but it's based on the fact that the Torah writes the word. Beis Shammai, now we're just repeating ourselves, Beis Shammai, we know with regard to the realm of smicha, they already have shown us that they don't learn the obligatory shlomim from the voluntary shlomim. They said, for example, Shalmei Chagiga, which is an obligatory shlomim, you bring it and you don't do smicha. What about a voluntary shlomim? There you would do smicha. So Beis Shammai doesn't learn chova from nedava. Therefore, as far as an olas chova is concerned, and it's receiving of smicha because a pasuk says so, that must be in accordance with Beis Shammai. We continue in the Gemara, the E Beis Hillel. If this were according to Beis Hillel, they wouldn't need kamishpat, they wouldn't need a pasuk. Kevon de Gemiri Shalmei Chova Mishalmei Nedava, since they have a precedent of learning obligatory sacrifices from the rules of voluntary sacrifices with regard to shlomim. Oilas chova nami lo tiboy kra. The olas chova also should not require a pasuk, namely kamishpat. Digamri me olas nedava. Beis Hillel would have learned smicha of the olas chova from comparing it, logical comparison, binyanav, to the Olas Nedava, where the Torah spells out that you need smicha. So, in a nutshell, what Reb Yitzchak is saying is that this Tanaic source that we read several lines up is a Beis Shammai source. It could not be Beis Hillel. The Gemara now rejects this. Umimai the Beis Hillel Shalmei Choiva Mishalmei Nedava Gamri. Who says that Beis Hillel, who requires smicha by Shalmei Chovah, they require smicha, and we learned this in our previous shiur, that the Shalmei Chagiga, which is an example of Shalmei Chovah, you do smicha to them. Who says that the basis of smicha of the Shalmei Chovah is necessarily through comparison to the Shalmei Nedava? Dilma me oilas chova gamri. Maybe Beis Hillel's requirement of smicha by the Shalmei Chova is through comparing it to another chova sacrifice, the olas chova, the oilas chova gufa by a kra. And if that be the case, the olas chova, which will be the basis of the Shalmei Chova, the olas chova will itself need a pasuk for smicha. And the Tana before actually opened up that way. The Tana above opened up with a pasuk, Vayakre v'sa'ilo, that was an olas chova, Vayaseh ha-kamishpat, and the word mishpat teaches me that the olas chova is treated like the olas nedava. Now, once I know that the olas chova has a smicha requirement, Beis Hillel then will use that as a basis for deriving smicha by the Shalmei Chova. So the source above could very well have been authored by Beis Hillel. Before we go further, let's try through a chart illustration, see what we have just done. Because for some of you, myself included, this was a very confusing piece of Gemara. You're dealing with a number of words that actually all sound very similar to one another. You've got two types of chova sacrifices, you've got two types of nedava sacrifices, and they all sound more or less the same. So to make some sense of all of this, we have a little chart on the side. You notice the headings Aleph and Beis. The Aleph shows us Shalmei Nedava directly teaching me smicha for the Shalmei Chova. And that's what we thought was Beis Hillel's initial approach, namely to learn Chova from Nedava, to learn that which is obligated from that which is voluntary through Binyan Av. Notice that then the Beis heading, and that, by the way, as we said, that was the stat, what we just show you in what we demonstrated in Aleph was the basis of Rabbi Yitzchak concluding that the source was a Beis Shammai source, because for Beis Hillel you would learn Chova from Nedava. The Beis approach indicates something else. The Olas Chova The Olas Chova was serving as the basis for the Shalmei Chova. Notice the difference. In Aleph, the Shalmei Chova was derived from Shalmei Nedava. In other words, the Aleph approach compared Shlomim to Shlomim. The Beis approach compares Chova to Chova, so that the Shalmei Chova was derived from an Olas Chova. However, if you take that approach, when you look in the Torah, you don't see Smicha by the Olas Chova too explicitly. So how do we know that there's Smicha by the Olas Chova? So we have the word Kamishpat. And that's what the source above revealed. Kamishpat means you do your olas chova like you would do an olas nedava. And the Olas Nedava, the Torah spells out that there is smicha. If you take this Bayes approach, the source with which that was stated in front of Rabbi Yitzchak, that source could very well have been authored by Bayes Hillel. Let's continue in the Gemara. This is a response to what we just said. My shna mishalme nedava delo gamri. What is different about the shalme nedava that you're saying now the shalme chova would not have been derived from the shalme nedava? Why not? Shikin mitsuyin. Mitsuyin means common. A shalme nedava is much more common. It's a voluntary shlomim offering that could be brought, that people will volunteer to bring all throughout the year. It's much more common than a shalme chov. It could then be that the Torah expects me to do smicha by that which is motsui, common, not by that which is uncommon. Well, by the same token, me olas chova nami lo gamri, how can you say that the shalme chova should be derived from, vis-a-vis smicha, from the olas chova, when shekein kolil, the ola is a sacrifice that's completely burnt? It has this uniqueness to it. It's completely burnt. And maybe that's the reason that an olas chova would have smicha. Who says that the shalme chova should also require smicha? So at this point then you're left wondering, how do you know that the Shalmei Chova requires smicha? So the Gemara explains, Asya Bibinaya. Through a common denominator that can be discovered between these sacrifices, the Olas Chova and the Shalmei Nedava, if you discover a common denominator between them, and that element is found by the Shalmei Chova as well, that is how I will know there's smicha by the Shalmei Chova. Rashi explains the entire topic, he elaborates, and to highlight two points. One point is that before we explain what the common denominator is, the source, in fact, could be authored by Bais Hillel as well. In other words, I'll need a pasuk that found by the Olas Chova that tells me that there is smicha by the Olas Chova, because it is to be done like you do an Olas Nedava. Now, once I have that information that the Olas Chova has smicha done to it, I'll use that information to attempt to teach smicha by the Shalmei Chova. However, as we just pointed out, that in and of itself is not sufficient. Because if you try to derive the Shalmei Chova from the Olas Chova, we will respond and tell you that the Olas Chova is kolil. So, we will point out that there's another korban that's not kolil, but it does have smicha, and that's the Shalmei Nedava. So therefore, kolil cannot be the factor requiring smicha. Shalmei Nedava is a korban, that's a korban shlomim, that's not burnt completely. On the other hand, if you think that you're going to learn the Shalmei Chova from the Shalmei Nedava, yeah, but the Shalmei Nedava is much more common. Maybe that's the reason it has smicha. So how can you learn your Shalmei Chova from the Shalmei Nedava? So to that we respond, I'll show you another korban that's not common, but it also has smicha, namely the Olas Chova. And then we go round and round, and we end up saying that the common denominator between the Olas Chova and the Shalmei Nedava is that they are both called Korban Yochid, they're both non-communal sacrifices, they're personal sacrifices, and they both have Nesachim, those are accompanying wine offerings brought with them. Therefore, any sacrifice that has those characteristics, that is personal, Korban Yochid, and it has Nesachim, that also will require smicha. So just like the Shalmei Nedava and the Olas Chova are personal sacrifices that have Nesachim and have smicha, so too the Shalmei Chova, which is a personal sacrifice and has Nesachim, it too will require smicha. In the course of our discussion, a point was mentioned above that Beis Shammai does not learn Shalmei Chova from Shalmei Nedava. And the result of that comment was that Shalmei Chova, the Korban Chagiga, according to Beis Shammai, there is no smicha. We're now going to bring that into question. V'savri Beis Shammai Shalmei Chova lo bo smicha. We have a little star. Align this with the star above, and you can see it points to that which is written in between the lines. Reb Yitzchok's conclusion was that the Shalmei Chova, the Korban Chagiga, does not require smicha. Could that be? V'ha Tanya. We have the following Taneg source, and we should point out on the side of our Gemara, our Tatnos, our subtopic heading, Biur Shitas Reb Yitzchok B'divrei Beis Shammai, the Shalmei Choiva Einon Srichin Smicha Klau. So let's see, is that really so that a Shalmei Choiva, like the Shalmei Chagiga, don't require smicha according to Beis Shammai for Tanya? Omar Rabbi Yossi, we're continuing in our Gemara. We have a Tanaic source, Omar Rabbi Yossi, Lo Nechliku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Ala Smicha Atzma Shetzorech. Notice the markings. We've emphasized Beis Shammai, Hasmicha Atzma Shetzorech, that smicha is required. Alma Nechliku, what do Beis Shammai Beis Hillel argue about? Al Tekef L'Smicha Shchita, the necessity of having the smicha done immediately before the slaughtering. She Beis Shammai Omrim Eino Tzorech, the smicha, the placing of the hands, doesn't have to be immediately before the slaughtering of the animal. The slaughtering of the animal takes place on Yom Tov. The placing of the hands takes place Erev Yom Tov. Beis Hillel Omrim Tzorech, and Beis Hillel says you have to have Tekef L'Smicha Shchita. And as a result of that, you'll have to do the smicha on Yom Tov, which is the time that you are doing the slaughtering. This, then, is a problem for Reb Yitzchak, because in this source we see Beis Shammai requires smicha. The Gemara responds, who, the Omar, that's Reb Yitzchak, who learned Beis Shammai as not requiring smicha by the Shalmei Chova, ki hai Tana. Reb Yitzchak is following the following Tana. Desanya, Omar Rabbi Yossi Reb Yehuda, lo nechliku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel al tekef l'smicha shchitas shetzorech. When smicha is required, everyone agrees it must be immediately before the shechita. That is when you are going to do smicha. Al ma nechliku, so what do they argue about? Al ha smicha atzma. Do the Shalmei Chova require smicha in the first place? She Beis Shammai Omrim Eino Tzorech, which you can see we've dashed underline. U Beis Hillel Omrim Tzorech. This is how Reb Yitzchak had learned Beis Shammai in accordance with this Tanaic opinion. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice some markings, and on the side we have our Nosei Mivneh heading, the Nosei, the topic heading combined with the structural note. The diamonds introduce two Maisim two stories, two incidents, Soviv Shitas Hillel, relating to the opinion of Hillel, the Mevian Eilois Re'iya B'yomto V'somchen Olav. Shitas Hillel, as we saw earlier, that you will bring an Olas Re'iya on Yom Tov and also do the Smicha. Bear in mind, we saw the Shita of Beis Shammai that disagreed. Tana Rabbanan, Maisa B'Hillel HaZaken, an incident involving Hillel, the original Hillel, the sage, from whom, of course, the Beis Hillel emerged. Maisa B'Hillel HaZaken, Shehevi Oiloso La'azora Lismoich Olav B'Yom Tov. He brought his korban olah to the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. Hillel lived at the time of the Beis Hamikdash. He lived, in fact, 100 years before the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash. So he brought his korban olah on Yom Tov, and he brought it with the intention of doing smicha on it. Chibru olav tamidei Shammai hazokein. The students of Shammai gathered. Omru lo, they gathered to challenge Hillel. Omru lo, ma tivo shel beim azu. They asked him, what's the nature of this animal? Omar lahem. So in order to preserve peace, he told an untruth. He told them, for the sake of preserving peace, one is allowed to state an untruth. He told them, nekevohi ulezivche shlomo v'isya. This is a female animal, and then korban olah, it should be noted, is brought only from male animals. Being that it's a keva, he's saying it's a female animal, so it's obviously then not an ola. And he says, I'm bringing it as a korban shlomim. Kishkesh lohem biznova v'holchu lohem. He wagged its tail, he shook its tail, and they went away. In other words, Rashi says, "Kidei lahat oison sheyu svurim shinikeva." Through doing that, they got the impression it was a female, and they went away. The oison hayom, and that day, gavra yodom shel beis Shammai al beis Hillel, the power of beis Shammai overpowered Beis Hillel, who bikshu likvay alocha kamoison, and there was an attempt to establish the halacha like Beis Shammai. Voyesham zokein echon mitamidei Shammai hazokein. There was one sage from the students of Shammai, ubovo ben buta shmo, shoyo yodea shalocha kebeis Hillel, and he knew that the halacha shall follow. Is supposed to follow Beis Hillel. V'sholach v'hevi kol tzon kedosh v'yishalayim v'amidam bazora. And he sought to have brought all the fine sheep of Yerushalayim. Tzon kedor is me'ulim hoyu, they were fine quality sheep in Yerushalayim. V'amidam bazora, and he stood them in the temple courtyard. V'yomar kol mi sheroitza lismuch yovo v'yismuch. Anyone who wants to come shall come and place their hands on these animals and offer them as sacrifices. V'oiso hayom, we've inverted the triangle. We indicated in our Mivneh note that the first triangle showed in the favor of Beis Shammai. This is where there's a change, and that's why we have the inverted triangle. The Oisayom Govra Yodon Shel Beis Hillel V'Kovu Halocha Kamoison. And that day, the strength of Beis Hillel reigned supreme, and they established the Halocha here. They actually established Halocha like Beis Hillel V'Lo Hoyer Shom Odom She'ira B'Dover Klum. And there was no one that era that challenged this matter. Shuv Maisa B'Talmid Echad Mitamidei Beis Hillel. Another incident with the students of Beis Hillel. This Rashi points out this incident follows the incident before. Shehevi Oilos Lazor Lismoch Olav. He brought a korban ola on Yom Tov to do the smicha. Motzo Talmid Echad Mitamidei Beis Shammai. One of the students of the Beis Shammai school met him. Omar Lo Mazu Smicha, and he said, sarcastically maybe, or he said challenging fashion, what's this smicha? Of course, representing the school of Beis Shammai, who opposed to smicha on Korbanos on Yom Tov. Omar Lo, so the Talmud of Hillel says, Mazu Shtika, do you know what silence is? Shoskoi ben Azifa, v'holach lo, he silenced him in wrath and went away. Omar Abaye, noting this last story, he says, Hilko Chaitzuber Rabbona, therefore a Talmud Chochem, a Torah scholar, the Omerle Chavrei Milsa, that is challenged by his friend, don't answer with more than was said to you. Be conscious of the number of words. You saw the Talmud of Shammai challenged by saying, what's this smicha? And the other Talmud of Hillel responded, mazu shtika. Notice the similarity words and in phraseology even. We continue in the Gemara, but before doing so, we glance at the side, the Nosei, the topic heading, HaVikuach ben Beis Shammai Yisil B'inyin HaKrovas Oilas Rio B'yom Tov Atzmo. We will see a discussion, an extensive give and take between Beis Shammai Yisil regarding the offering of the Olas Ri'ya, the Ola sacrifice on Yom Tov itself. Three times a year, the Torah commands us to appear in the Beis HaMikdash with Korbanos, and included in the Korbanos are the Olas Ri'ya. You'll notice house marking and numbering 1 and 2, the 2 you see number lines later, on the side under the Mivneh, the structural note, two Lishonos B'Kavachomer Shomer Beis Hillel. You'll see two versions of the Kavachomer logic that Beis Hillel uses. So we now are turning to the Gemara. Tanya, Amru Lohem Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel, once again, holds that you offer an Olas Ri'ya on Yom Tov itself, and Beis Shammai disagrees. So Beis Hillel argues to Beis Shammai, this is Kavachomer logic. And he says, mind you, under circumstances that's Osir Lehedyot, Shabbos is a day that one is not allowed to engage in melachas for the benefit of the individual. And yet, on Shabbos, Mutur L'Gavoha means you can offer sacrifices. There are daily sacrifices in the Korban Musaf that are offered on Shabbos, even though it involves slaughtering and burning. All of these are activities that are otherwise forbidden. But since you're doing it logavoa, it's mutter. When it comes to Yom Tov, yimokom shemutter lehedyo. On Yom Tov, it's mutter. Anything that's food-related, you're allowed to prepare on Yom Tov. Food-related malachas, without getting into details, of course, food-related malachas, cooking and baking, kneading dough, these are malachas that one is allowed to do on Yom Tov for the Hedyot. So, here on Yom Tov, we are lenient with regard to the Hedyot, Eino Din, Shemutur, Ligavon, and all the more so, like we saw by Shabbos, where Shabbos was, Hedyot was restricted and Gavo was mutter. Here where Hedyot is allowed, certainly Gavo is allowed. What does that include? Anything that's going to be Mizbeach eating related. The Mizbeach eats as well. What does the Mizbeach consume? It consumes sacrifices, including the Olas Ri'ya. Omru Lohem Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai responds to Beis Hillel, if you're going to say that if you're going to try to use this Kavachomer logic, I will pierce a hole in it. Nedorim Unedavos Yochichu. Take a look at voluntary offerings that you agree are usher to offer on Yom Tov. Shemutur lehedyot v'asur legavoa. Looking at Nedarim and Nedavos and focusing on Yom Tov, just because a day is mutur lehedyot, that doesn't lead you to the Kavachomer that it will certainly be mutur legavoa. Because look at this again, we're just repeating ourselves. Nedarim and Nedavos on Yom Tov, is a day that you can do things for the Hedyot and you can't do for the Gavoah. You can't bring these sacrifices on Yom Tov. So by the same token, Beis Shammai is saying, you will not be allowed to bring the Olas Riyah on Yom Tov. Omru Lohem Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel responds, the Nedarim and Nedavos does not poke a hole in my logic. Ma'al Nedarim and Nedavos she'ein kavua lohem zman. Nedarim and Nedavos are voluntary offerings. They don't have a fixed time during which to bring them. Bring them some other time during the year. Toimar ba'olas riyah she'kavua lozman. Should you say the same thing with regard to the olas riyah that has a fixed time? You have only Yom Tov on during which to bring it. Amru lahem Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says, Avzu ein kavua lozman. The Olas Riyah doesn't have a fixed time. Disnan, Mishalo chog b'chiyom tov rishon shochag. He who didn't bring his sacrifice on the first day of Yom Tov, chogeg v'holech kol regel kulo v'yom tov achron shochag. You see, this pasuk, as far as Beis Shammai is concerned, by the way, is a reference to the Shalmei Chagiga. But what you do see from here is that you have all of Yom Tov, including the Chol HaMoed, time to bring it. So why are you, Beis Hillel, trying to say that the Olas Riyah is Kavua Lozman? It's not Kavua Lozman, it's like Nedarim and Nedavos in that sense. Omru Lohem Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel responds, Af Zu Kavua Lozman. The Olas Riyah, granted you have a certain margin of time during which to bring it, but that doesn't detract from its being categorized as kavua lozman, as having a fixed time. Disnan ovar harega v'lochog eino chayav b'achriyuso. If once the holiday goes by, you're no longer obligated to bring it. In other words, if you don't bring it by the holiday, you've lost your opportunity. Therefore, the olas riyah is not like nedarim and nedavos. I will grant you that nedarim and nedavos you don't offer on the holiday. You can bring it any time during the year. But the olas riyah, you have only the holiday time during which to bring it. And therefore, you can bring it on the holiday itself. Omru lohem beis shamai. Beis shamai tries to argue from another angle. V'alo kvar nemar lohem. The pasuk says that you are allowed on Yom Tov to do things that are lochem, that are for your benefit. V'lo l'gavoa. Lochem means for your benefit, like the cooking and baking food. Who the pasuk says, Hu levado yaseh lochem. And that does that not exclude gavoa? To the exclusion of the Olas Riyah? Omru lohem beis hillel. V'alo kvar ne'emar la'ashem. The pasuk says la'ashem in it. And from that we learn kol de la'ashem. V'chagoy semoysu chag la'ashem, the pasuk says. So la'ashem indicates anything that's for the Almighty, including the Olas Riyah. Im kein ma tamad lomar lochem. So then what does lochem in fact exclude? Lochem velo lekusim, lochem velo leklovim. It says, the Torah is telling me, you're allowed to do things for the you and not for non-Jews. You can bake and cook for fellow Jews, but not for kusim, not for idol worshippers. Lochem velo leklovim, for you and not for your dogs. But we're not excluding gavoa. Abashol Omro Beloshon Acheres. Abashol states the base Hillel Kavuchomer to justify the bringing of the Olas Riyah on Yom Tov through another type of Kavuchomer as follows. Uma b'mokoim shekiros hostumo kiras rabcha psucha. A kira is a stove. Technically it's a stove that has room for two pots to be placed on it. So in the event, mind you, where kiras ha, your personal stove is closed up. For example, Shabbos, you don't cook and bake on Shabbos. And yet, kiras rab chapsucha, sacrifices that are Shabbos related are offered and they're put in the fire on Shabbos. That's the Rabcha is your master, the stove of your master, a reference to the Mizbeach. And that it is open, it's open for business, it's being used. You are burning things on the Mizbeach on Shabbos. B'makom shekirascha p'sucha. Then you can all the more imagine that where your oven is open, like Yom Tov, Eino Din Shekiras Rabcha P'sucha, then all the more so your master's, the Almighty's stove is open for business. Namely, you will certainly offer the Olas Re'iyah on Yom Tov, V'chein Bedin, and certainly it should be this way. It's only proper. Shelo Yeh Shulchan Chomale V'Shulchan Rabcha Reikon. How would it look when your table is full, you've got your own food, and the table of the Almighty, the Mizbeach, is empty, isn't being offered upon. So we have in this source two styles of Kal V'Chomer. B'mai komiflugi, what is the point of difference between the Tanakamo and Abba Shol? In other words, Abba Shol didn't just for the fun of it, change to a different Kal V'Chomer. There's a point of difference. What is that? Mor Sovar, Abba Shol, who didn't have Beis Shammai mentioned to Beis Hillel, Nedorim and Nedovas Yochichu. In other words, when two people are arguing and A wants to make a point to B, A will say to B, look at this, something that you yourself agree with, etc. and so forth. But Abba Shol, notice he didn't mention, he didn't have Beis Shammai telling Beis Hillel, let my case be proven through Nedarim and Udavos that you yourself would agree with. Why not? Because Mar Sovar Nedarim Udavos Kraven Biyomto, because Beis Hillel themselves disagree with Beis Shammai on that very point. Beis Shammai could not argue, according to Abba Shol, could not argue to Beis Hillel that from the Nedarim Udavos standpoint, that namely, just like you would agree with us that Nedarim and Nedavos are not offered, why couldn't they say that? Because Beis Hillel holds Nedarim and Nedavos are offered. Umor Sovar, the Tanakama who did present that line of reasoning, that's because Ein Kraven Biyomtov. Thus, according to the Tanakama, even Beis Hillel agrees that Nedarim and Nedavos are not offered on Yom Tov. As we go on in the Gemara, a long point is made. Omar Rav Huna, L'divrei ha'oimer Nedarim u'Nedavos ein kraven b'Yom Tov. According to that approach, the approach of the Tanakama, that everyone agrees, that Beis Hillel agree, you're not to offer Nedarim and Nedavos on Yom Tov. Lo tema, don't say midoraisa mechsa chazuv rabbanon hu de gazri behu gzeiro shemo yisheh. Don't say all of that. Namely, don't say that from the Torah standpoint you can bring the Dharma Nedavos on Yom Tov, and it's simply the rabbanon that intervened and said don't bring them on Yom Tov, because if you were to bring them on Yom Tov, that will create an incentive for people to wait till Yom Tov to bring their Nedarim and Nedavos. So, and that waiting is a problem. Namely, if you're going to wait till Yom Tov, you might end up not bringing it on Yom Tov, and then you'll be over on Baal Ta'achir, the topic we discussed earlier. So, don't say all of that. Let's go over this point again. Don't claim that the opinion that holds don't bring the Dharma Dovas Yom Tov is on a merely rabbinic level, but the Torah would approve of it. That's not so. Elo afilu midoy raiso nami loy chazu. The bringing of the Dharma and the Dovas on Yom Tov is even from the Torah's standpoint, unacceptable. In order to show this, we're going to show you something else concerning which there is no problem of Shem or Yisheh, and still we're not going to allow it to be done on Yom Tov. And we will show that through the case of the Shtei Alechem. What's the Shtei Alechem? The Shtei Alechem are two loaves that are, they're baked loaves that are brought in the Beis HaMikdash on Shavuos. They're brought along with the Kivsei Atzeres, a Shalmei Chova, a Shalmei Tzibor. It's a public Korban Shlomim that's brought on the holiday of Shavuos. Along with that Shlomim, that public, the Kivsei Atzeres, Shtei Alechem are brought. Now the Shtei Alechem is not something that you could have brought any earlier. It has to be brought on Shavuos itself. So the issue of Shem or Yisheh doesn't come up over here. It's not a kind of thing that we would expect you to bring it earlier and try to encourage you to bring it earlier and say don't bring it on Shavuos because that way you might miss it. You have to bring it on Shavuos. So the issue of Shem or Yisheh is irrelevant to the Shtei Alechem. And yet, when do you bake the Shtei Alechem? You bake it Erev Shavuos. We don't allow you to bake it on Shavuos. So what do you see? You see that when the Torah tells you, let's say, not to do something, even though it's Korban related, but it's telling you not to do it on Yom Tov, it's telling you, the Torah itself is telling you that, and not just a mere rabbinic intervention so as to prevent someone delaying and missing something. So that's what the Gemara says in the next two lines. Daha shtei halechem, dechoivas hayom ninu v'leko lemigzar shem o'yisheh. The shtei halechem is chovas hayom. It's obligatory on that day, on the day of Shavuos itself. It could not be brought earlier. And therefore, the rabbinic the intervention of Shem o'yisheh, of with telling you to bring something early so as not to come to delay, is irrelevant over here. The Shtei Alechem couldn't be brought before Shavuos. And nevertheless, the Einoi Doiche, the baking of the Shtei Alechem, will not supersede Lo Es HaShabbos, V'Lo Es HaYom Tov, and V'Lo Es Yom Tov. And very simply, since they could be baked on the weekday, on Erev Shavuos, you don't do it on Shavuos. By the same token, the Nedarim and Adavah, since they could be brought before Yom Tov, you're not allowed to bring them on Yom Tov. Ibayalaho, the Gemara asks a question. And before we do that, we glance at the side, the Nosei, the topic heading. L'divrei Hoyim and Nedarim and Adavah ain kraven b'Yom Tov. According to that approach, that Nedarim, those voluntary offerings, are not to be brought on Yom Tov. Ovar v'shochad b'Yom Tov, mahu shigizrok es domo. Let's say a person violated, and he did bring these voluntary sacrifices on Yom Tov. What is the law regarding the sprinkling of the blood? As everyone knows, animal sacrifices that are brought in the Beis HaMikdash, after they're slaughtered, their blood is sprinkled. After the sprinkling of the blood, that enables the korban meat to be eaten, and that enables the innards of the korban to be put on the fire of the Mizbeach. That's what Zrika Saddam ordinarily accomplishes. Let us turn to the text. Ibayalaho, ledivrei ha'oimer nedarim unedavos ein kraven b'Yom Tov. According to the opinion that says that these voluntary type sacrifices are not to be brought on Yom Tov, ovar v'shochat, let's say ovar, he sinned, and he did slaughter a nedarim unedavos on Yom Tov. What is the din now with regard to the zrikas hadam, the sprinkling of the blood? Rav Amar zorek es hadam al menas lahatir boser b'achila. Sprinkle the blood. Through that, you will then be able to eat the meat. Number two, Rabo bar Rav Huna Omar zorek es adam al menas lahaktir emurin lo erev. He says, sprinkle the blood, even if there is no, meat consideration. Nevertheless, sprinkle the blood so as to be able to offer at night, after Yom Tov, the korban innards. Now, Zrikas Adam cannot take place at night. That has to be done only by day. So there's no havamin here of delaying in the Zrikas Adam. The Zrikas Adam, the sprinkling of the blood, has to be during the daytime hours. In this case, it's on Yom Tov itself. However, the burning of the innards, that can be done during the night. The first Mishnah in Shas actually tells you that. My Binayu, what is the difference between these two opinions, Rava and Rabba Bar Rav Huna? After all, both are telling you to sprinkle the blood. They are, however, giving you different results of or reasons for sprinkling the blood. So what practical difference is there between them? Iko Binayu Nitma Boser O Sha'ovad. Practical difference will be a case where the meat became defiled, you won't be able to eat it, or it became lost. Do you continue doing the Zrika Saddam anyway? La Rava Lozar, according to Rava, whose whole consideration was the meat, meat's not around, or it's not available, so don't do the Zrika. La Rava Bar Rav Huna Zorik. According to Rabbi Huna, you do. Rashi points out, according to Rava, who says, don't do the Zrika. He says, even though there is no malacha, nevertheless, there is an Isur Darabonon that we impose. A rabbinic prohibition. Even though the act of sprinkling the blood per se doesn't involve any actual malacha activity. Let's continue in the Gemara, Meisvei. We raise an objection, and this Tanaic source continues to the top line of Chof Aleph Amud Aleph, and eventually you will see how this question is going to be a challenge to Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Meisvei. Kivsei Atzeres Sheshochton Shelo Lishmon. We mentioned the Kivsei Atzeres before. These are sheep offerings that are brought on Shavuos. And in this case, the Kivsei Atzeres were slaughtered Shelo Lishmon. They were slaughtered with an improper mindset. O Sheshochton Bein Lifnei Zmanon Bein Laachar Zmanon. Or you slaughtered the Kivsei Atzeres before Shavuos. That would be Lifnei Zmanon, or afterwards. Hadom Izorek Vabosar Yeochel. Even though there is a problem with the Shechita in terms of it's being done in the designed with the designed purpose in mind, nevertheless, sprinkle the blood Vabosar Yeochel. You sprinkle the blood and the meat can be eaten. The problem that Shelo Lishma presents is a problem as far as getting korban credit, but as far as rendering it unfit, Shelo Lishma presents a problem only in the realm of a korban chatos and a korban pesach, but not with regard to other sacrifices. V'im hoyso Shabbos Loi Yizroik. If, however, it were a Shabbos and you have the aforementioned problems, then don't do the Zrika. The Rashi says, second line from the bottom, V'moyse Shabbos Loi Yizroik, Shere Osir Levashel Velitzlos Hayom Velo Yochal Min Abosar. If it's Shabbos, you're not going to be able to cook or roast the meat on Shabbos day. V'im Zorak, if he didn't consult with us, and he went ahead and did the Zrika anyway. This is, by the way, dashed underlined because this ties into our topic of Ovar Ovar, he did an Aver. He did something he wasn't supposed to do. Here, if he did do this Rika, Hutsa, Amanas, Lahaktir, Emurim, Lef. Here we're at the top of Chof Aleph Amad Aleph. It's an effective Zrika, insofar as you'll now be able to offer the innards Saturday night. And now we point out Im Zorak. The source says, if he did the Zrika, Dievid in L'chadchila lo, only post facto, but as an initial decision, that we don't allow. So, Bishlamo L'Rava Nicha, according to Rava, this is fine. The Rabbeinu Chananel, where you can see we've done some underlining in the Rabbeinu Chananel commentary, so he says there, we're reading there the fifth line of his commentary, Bishlamo le Rava, di Omar Zorek Hadam Kedei Lahatir Boser Lachila. He says you do the Zrikas Hadam in order to allow the meat to be eaten. That was the case of doing, he said that in the context of Nedarim Nedarim on Yom Tov. However, Kevan de B'Shabbos Lav Barachilahu, since it's Shabbos and you can't roast the meat, it's not something, it's not edible then. Lefikach Eino Zorek L'Chadchila, therefore we're saying don't go ahead as a first choice and do the Zrika. So this source makes sense according to Rava, whose primary concern before when he said Zorek es Adam, that was in order to enable the meat to be eaten. But since it's Shabbos, and you're not able to prepare the meat, you can't roast the meat anyway, so the Zrika isn't going to be a Zrika for eating purposes. So this source that says that from which we inferred L'chadchila lo, don't do the Zrika, that fits in well with Rava's scheme of things. The Gemara continues at the third line from the top, Elo l'rabo barav huna kashya. According to Rabbi Huna, whose interest was simply the haptor semurim bo'erev, the offering of the innards at night, why doesn't this source simply say that if it was Shabbos and he had shechted these kipsei atzeres, it should say in the source Yizrok. Why do this Rika in order to be able to offer the innards Saturday night? Kashya. So the first approach here is that represents a difficulty for Rabo Barav Huna. V'boy Seimo, a second approach. Shiny Shvus Shabbos Mishvus Yom Tov. The source that's being raised as a question on Rabo Rav Huna is a source concerning Shabbos. So with regard to rabbinic restrictions as they apply to Shabbos, there is greater stringency. And therefore, with regard to the Shabbos case, they'll tell you Lo Yizrok. However, Shvus Yom Tov, a rabbinic restrictions with regard to Yom Tov, so there Rabo Rav Huna will tell you we can be more lenient, and if the Nedarim Nedarim were brought, go ahead and do the Zrika. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.